All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And my guest today, probably, if not one of, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, probably the hardest working dude on the scene when it comes to Maine basketball. This guy's the Mel Kiper, the Wojnowski. He's the everything when it comes to Maine hoops. This guy, he knows everything. He's everywhere. And he puts out the best mixtapes on top of that. It's our boy Trophy Mode joining us for I don't know how many appearances this makes now on Big Time Hoops, the podcast. But Trophy, what's good, man? What's going on?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Tom. Really appreciate it. Love the platform. It's my, you know, you deserve to have a summer off after all the work you put in last winter with trying to keep people excited about basketball and doing things for the kids. And so I'm glad that you've put out some podcasts recently, because that's one of the things I look forward to the most every week. But as for me, I'm just getting back from Springfield, Massachusetts today. The weekend before, I was in Springfield for a night and then drove to Mannheim, Pennsylvania to Spooky Nuke, to their facility for a hoop group event, hoop group jam fest. You know, I've been traveling a lot this spring, trying to make up spring and summer, just trying to make up for footage that I didn't get last winter, obviously, because we weren't allowed in gyms to film. So
I was gonna say, like, that one, are you traveling a ton? But I feel like these mixtapes are coming out like at a high tempo right now. I feel like it's like every day right now you're putting out something new, so you must be taking a shit ton of footage just everywhere you go right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have footage of probably every, you know, 16 and 17 new kid in Maine, and some 15s as well. I've been focusing on them because, like I said, I didn't get a chance to film them during the regular season like I would have. I would have been, you know, my thing that I love to do in the winter is just travel around to all the gyms around Maine and feel the excitement in the gym for the big players in Maine. So I want to be able to have them have footage to look back on and show their buddies and friends and whatever that they could hoop back in the day. So, you know, one of my big things last weekend was to make sure I got some footage of Cash McClure, because he's one of our, you know, our reigning Mr. Basketball from 2021. Hadn't had a chance to film him this spring because he'd been playing in other tournaments with New York Lightning Select. But since he joined up with Middlesex Magic a few weekends ago for the live period events and is playing alongside Dom Campbell and Brady Cummins, it made it a little bit easier for me to get out there and film him. So I've got some good footage of him. His stock's on the rise since he's been able to showcase his skills in the NEPSAC showcase and these live period events as well. He's been out in Indiana this weekend where they, you know, competed against some of the best club programs in the country out there. So
I want to start with Middlesex Magic. So you mentioned three guys with Maine ties that are running with this program out of Mass: Dom Campbell, Brady Cummins, Cash. All three guys that decided to reclass. And it looks like for these guys, like, that decision to reclass to 2022 is going to pay off for them, right? Because we just saw Dom sign with Notre Dame. Brady seems like he's getting offers coming in every week now. Cash starting to gain some interest. You think it's going to be a thing we see more moving forward here, more kids reclassing? Because it does seem to be paying off for – I mean, it seems like it's paying off for most of those folks that are doing it.
I think we're up to 14 or 15 kids reclassed from 2022 and 23 and 24 in Maine now. The most I ever remember before this was two.
Yeah.
And like for actual kids from Maine to be reclassing. And so, yeah, I think that that's a trickle down effect from the COVID year, from just the competitive where the competition for scholarships and Maine kids, certain things that don't work in Maine kids' favor as far as that goes, and just trying to get that extra year of development and strength. But also I think prep programs taking more interest in some Maine kids as their development improves and they see them as, as guys that they can rely on to help the prep program and also make the program look good as they compete for scholarships, and the prep programs can put that on their resume as we help get this kid to this level. So
I want to ask you this, like, how much do you think these kids benefit versus going the prep route and playing at a prep program versus just being on the right AAU team and being seen? Because it seems like these kids are getting offers based off being seen at AAU tournaments, not so much what they're doing with their prep programs. So where do you think that balance is? Do you think like they benefit more from going the prep route, or do you think they just benefit more if the AAU team was right, if the program was right and they got exposure that way?
I think people need to look at everything as a piece to the puzzle, instead of like one thing is like the answer to getting recruited or getting a scholarship or playing at a certain level. I think that where the prep program helps you is that they can practice, you can practice year round. You have a dedicated strength and conditioning person that most, especially the good prep programs, the established ones, and always being able to compete in your practices and in your games against kids that are definitely going to play in college basketball every practice, every night. Like, you're testing yourself against those type of players and not being like a big fish in a small pond, like many kids are at their local high schools. That, you know, that isn't to say that, you know, you can't get it done or anything is necessary for you to be recruited. You don't have to go to prep school. You don't have to play AU. But like, again, all those things are pieces to the puzzle as you want as many high quality darts to throw at the board. And I think each one of those things is one more way to help yourself. And, you know, I think with Maine kids already being at a disadvantage in many situations, for certain reasons, people are realizing that the prep route is another way that they can, you know, fight back against that disadvantage a little bit.
Another kid that I brought up, Dom Campbell. You were on the Dom train before most. I mean, you saw it, and you were around before he kind of took off over this past year. So has he kind of exceeded what you thought, or is he starting to get to where you thought he could be?
I mean, to be honest, and Dom would say the same thing, and the people around Dom in his circle would say the same thing, is that Dom physically always had the potential to do what he's doing. It was just about putting the right work in and you know, getting his body into a certain point. But also, you know, he's joining Middlesex. What, you know, besides transferring to Phillips Exeter, joining Middlesex Magic was a complete no-brainer for him, because if you put a lot of shooting and passing and high IQ players around him, he has the size, the shooting, and the passing capability to fit as a main cog in that type of system. Whereas if you're just putting a bunch of athletes around him and just trying to dump it into him, he may not be able to showcase the same skill level. And now he's going to Notre Dame with his recent commitment there, where he's going to play in a similar setting to what he's playing at Middlesex, albeit with like even higher level players. But I would say that when I saw him at Waynefleet, his sophomore year, Waynefleet was one of the first games I went to 3 years ago when I started filming. And he was as almost as big as he is now, as far as height. But he wasn't necessarily being utilized the way Middlesex Magic utilizes all his skills. And I think that's what's important, is to have a program and a coach that really understand and look at you through the lens of what your potential is and trying to get you there within the context of your program. And I think that's where he's really found the right fit. We talk about fit a lot with kids and programs. He's really found the right fit to utilize all those skills and showcase him the right way. So I would say that I didn't see Notre Dame necessarily as the future, like when I first saw him, but I knew there was untapped potential, a lot of untapped potential there. And as he's, once he made the move from Yes to Blue Wave with a club, as a club team, a couple of years ago for the showcase events, we took a trip to Atlantic City, and he really blew up playing beside some of Maine's best players in that tournament. And all of a sudden he was getting looks from, he got his first three scholarship offers from BU and a few others that really made, like, once he got those offers, I think that's when the prep programs and stuff started to say, well, that this is a kid that we might want to check out and check in on and see if he might want to make a move. And, you know, his family, I think, is probably as happy and ecstatic as they can be with the decision they made. So.
Yep. So we talked about reclassifying and him being one of those guys that benefited from that. He's right where he wants to be. He's going to be playing at the highest level. I put a graphic up like a month ago, like what the class of 2021 should have looked like versus like the guys that, like, so it's like the reclass of 2021 that are now class of 2022. And we know where a bunch of them are. A couple guys that I don't know where they're at or where they're going. And I think they're going prep. Where's Peyton Jones going? What did Peyton wind up doing?
I'm not really sure. The last time I talked to Peyton's father, there was some options on the table. So I'm not really sure what's happening with Peyton. It's been a few weeks since I've seen him. He did play this spring and summer with XL Thunder on a 12th grade group coached by Mike Hathaway from Levitt. And he looked really good. So I'm sure that there's the potential for Peyton to play basketball beyond Thornton Academy. I'm just not sure where he is with that decision right now.
What about my boy Andrew Suez? What's up with Suez?
Andrew Suez, I believe last I heard, is headed to Lee Academy for a prep year. So he'll be reclassing to 2022.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think, in my opinion, is a good move for him. I think that he has potential to play at the scholarship level for sure, based on his body and his skill set and his IQ. Unfortunately for Andrew, he had a setback with an injury this year, which hampered his ability, which, you know, actually not only hampered it, it made it impossible for him to showcase himself in the club program, AAU travel circuits, where I think he would have shined and maybe already ended up with an offer. But Lee Academy will allow him to really rehab that injury to get back to 100% and then go out and compete. They're in the knapsack, so he'll be competing against the best players in New England night in and night out. So I have faith that Andrew will make a big jump in the as far as how people perceive him if he, you know, with this prep year, if that's the route that he really is going. So
someone else who's been playing well this summer, who also reclassed, Casey Cormier. I don't know if you've seen Casey play at all during the stretch, but I feel like I just keep on seeing stuff pop up about him impressing folks at some of these tournaments he's been to. What can you tell us about Casey and his rise this summer?
Yeah, Casey, I've seen a lot, and I should have a mix coming out for Casey soon. He is headed to Kimball Union with Cash for a prep year. Casey is somebody that really, really can shoot the ball. He can get as hot as anyone from beyond three, but he's developing into more than just a shooter. He can get take a dribble and get to the mid range and pull up. He's strong enough to, you know, take some contact at the basket and finish on the break or in the half court. So I think given another year to really work on his body and continue to expand his game, he seems like he's a real worker. off the court, you know, when he's in, you know, I feel like he's putting in a lot of time during the week on his game, and that's why he's making these gains. So yeah, I think, you know, he has a chance at being in the right program. Shooting is at a premium, as we know, as far as how the game of basketball is played today. And I'm a big fan of Casey. So I think, again, this year of prep and another year to work on his body and develop his game is going to turn him into a player that many college programs in our area are going to want to have in their program for 4 years. So
on top of the mixtapes that you put out, you got these player rankings that you got, and I tell people, like, I'm not even joking, like, Trophy has like 1 through 50, like each class, boys and girls, like it's well thought out and it's accurate too. Like we did some things last year during the season going through some of your player rankings, and I think it's the most accurate thing that we got around. And one guy that you were high on last year as a sophomore was Calvin Catchings, who is playing well this summer too, right? So have you seen Calvin play it all this summer, and what can you tell us about him? Because maybe reclassing may be in his future as well. We don't know yet, but what can you tell us from Calvin's summer he's had so far?
Yeah, I've seen Calvin a bunch. I saw him this weekend again. Calvin is a kid that can score from three levels. You know, I love his intermediate game. He's a good guy at the high post. He can knock that down. It's probably where his bread and butter right now is probably the elbows and mid range. I feel like he's a solid decision maker. You know, he's somebody that suffered an injury last summer, so I still think that he's kind of working back into full, you know, getting some of that explosion back and lift. But you know, he's a kid, I think, if he works on his body, and I know that he's been contacted by prep schools, or at least there's prep schools that have contacted me that are interested in him. You know, and that, you know, that's a family decision, personal decision. So I won't say whether that's something that, you know, he should really take advantage of or not, but I know that those level schools are interested in him. So they see him as a scholarship level prospect if he continues to work on his game. I love watching him play. I can't wait to get to some of his games this winter. So
yeah, I got to check him out one time this spring and was blown away too. I'm gonna be making my way down there to Gardner, check out some Gardner games this year for sure. Somebody else in this class, if he does stay class of 2022, someone else was up there with him, who's played well this summer, Joseph Estrella from South Portland, who I think you've been following around. You've got plenty of footage of those guys in the Thunder program. What can you tell us about Joseph? He seems to be coming along, becoming quite the prospect, still growing, it looks like. I don't know how tall he is now, but just another one of those talented kids from class of 2022, the way it stands right now.
Yeah. These are 2023 kids.
2023, my bad. 2023.
It's hard to keep track of time these days for sure. You know, we don't even know. I don't even know what year I'm in sometimes. But yeah, JP Joseph is phenomenal. He's probably taken as fast a rise as I can remember seeing from any kid, as far as just realizing, you know, what he can be at the same time as hitting a growth spurt. And at the same time as some of his athleticism really coming in. And, you know, I've seen him have triple doubles with blocks this summer, which is amazing. His timing is really something that you would rarely see. I would put it up there with he may be one of the top three or four shot blockers that I've ever seen in Maine in the 25 years that I've been watching basketball in Maine. And he can also step out. He's a good pick and pop option, can hit the three ball, really finishing above the rim with consistency now. Dunking it between his legs and with regularity, which is pretty wild to see for somebody that's probably going to be around 6'10" by the time the season rolls around, if not bigger.
Yeah.
you know, and just a super nice, humble kid as well. So he's easy to root for. And he's really been a part of big part of XL Thunder 16U group and their success this summer. And he's started to play up. I believe he may have even went with Middlesex Magic out to Indiana this weekend to compete with their 16U program in the big prep hoops tournament out there. So now he's phenomenal. I think, you know, he may be looking to prep potentially in the future. But even if he doesn't, I think that he is already somebody that many, many college programs are going to be looking to grab. So,
and he runs with this high school team there. He's got Jalen Jackson on the point on this Thunder program. They've been hooking up highlights, and Jalen's been balling out as well. Question for you, is that going to transfer over to a good South Portland team this winter? Like, how do you think that'll do once we start playing high school ball? Because they got some other kids down there too on that South Portland squad, right? So are they going to be the team to beat, you think, in Class AA?
I mean, last time we could be in the gym, they were 18-0 in the regular season, Jalen's freshman year. Then JP joined them from Scarborough last year. I think they were like 12-1 during the abbreviated season and no tournament for Cumberland County. And then, so, you know, that puts them at like 30-1 in the regular season over the last 2 years. So that they're a program that Coach Kevin Millington has done a phenomenal job with as far as building a winning culture and involving a lot of good, finding a way to involve a lot of good kids, because they're always one of the deepest programs in the state as far as 1 through, you know, 12 or whatever the roster size is each year. So I think they'll be one of the favorites for Class AA for sure. But again, that all comes down to chemistry and just people stepping up. You know, they'll be taking everybody's best shot, I'm sure, because everybody knows about several of the players on their team. So people will be coming in ready every night. It's, you know, and the tournament is a one game setting, so anything can happen. So I don't want to pencil them in yet. I can't, but I'm really looking forward to seeing them in the preseason and seeing how they look in a couple months.
They'll be a fun team to watch for sure. Somebody else I think you just got to see for the first time this past summer is Cooper, right? First time seeing Cooper Flagg in person. Is that accurate, or at least getting to get some footage of him being in the gym, being a lot of these games?
Actually, for Cooper, I started filming Cooper going into his seventh grade year.
You're always way ahead of everybody else. Like you guys, and this guy, not, guy knows everything and everyone.
Not necessarily knowing, but like I was at a tournament for the older kids in Massachusetts, and he was playing Boston Spartans teams that was really good in the semifinals, I believe, of that tournament. And they were like, "Oh, you should go over and check this kid out." And while you have a break, and I went over there, and he was just dominating. And it happened to be that game, from what I'm told, the first game that I ever really got to see him play happened to be what people describe as really the game that he really broke out and showed that he was like on another level from a lot of his peers. And he was doing everything. He was playing point. He was coming down, hitting threes, hitting mid range, taking guys to the rim. I saw him a few more times after that. I came up to the main open in Hamden and saw him up there, got a little film. But, you know, not again, you know, what I said about JP, I think I could see it in Cooper at that age about his ability to kind of take over a game in a special way. And now he's just, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, and doing all those same things at an unprecedented level in Maine in a way that even people that aren't involved in the program, if they're in the gym, opposing teams, fans, other people from other gyms, just catch word that something's going on his court. And, you know, I think he makes fans of people that really love basketball and love the game and love the way that that team and he play the game every time he goes out. So, you know, really looking forward to continuing to follow he and his teammates as they, you know, try to continue to build on what they've done so far.
I think the thing I'm most impressed with, I still haven't seen him in person yet. I'm still waiting for my opportunity, but from the videos and stuff like that, is the skill set's clearly there, which is impressive. But the thing that I'm most impressed with at his age is just how physical he plays. Like, he's not scared of contact at all. Like, he goes up and tries to dunk on people, which I think is very rare for someone that age. But I think it's just also something else that separates him from everyone else in his age group, right?
I love the fact that his program, he was coached by Andy Bedard, former UMaine player, great high school player from Mountain Valley, but his mom, Kelly Bowman Flagg, who also played at UMaine. And I love that their mindset is to put them against the best competition every weekend, you know, whether it's traveling for on the made hoop circuit around the country or in Maine playing against the best players. Like the tournament that I saw them play in Maine, they played against the best 12th, 11th and 12th graders in Maine and held their own and won games against the best high schoolers. And they were a strictly eighth grade team with one ninth grader, I think Landon Clark from Bangor that weekend. So, you know, it's just fun that they're very competitive, where a lot of people kind of make it about winning every game and wanting to look good. They're really about the competition and understanding that you really get better through competing against people that can really either hold their own or are better than you. So big fan of that philosophy.
Who else runs with that program? Because I know they got Bedard's son, they got Dawson Townsend from maybe on McComas as well, right? But who else they got? Because they got a squad, it appears. They're going places and they're winning games. So who else is on that team?
Yeah, they got a couple of guards from Cheverus. Leo McNabb is a good shooter, really high IQ, heady player, a guard. They got a point guard in Sammy Nizamana that is probably one of the best kids that I've seen in eighth grade at withstanding pressure defense, getting the ball where it needs to go, initiating offense, you know, can create his own shot and get to the basket as well, but really just thrives as kind of like what people would say term as a pure point guard at this stage of his career. Saw them play the other day in a summer league game against Deering, and they look like they'll be able to get some minutes on a double A squad as freshmen. Then you've got you know, obviously, you know, Cooper and Ace, Dawson, Crady Dixon from Wyndham, lefty that can knock down shots, really tough defender, and Gabe Lash from Madomic Valley, guy that's, you know, really starting to fill out. Looks like he'll be a nice forward in the Madomic program. And you got Caden Bedard, obviously. So and Landon Clark from Bangor runs with them when they play up in some tournaments. He's a, you know, what some would say he may be, you know, he's in the running for the best freshman in the state last year. So the best class of 2024 prospect in Maine. So
Who else have you seen? Because summertime is normally the time in which players get better, right? So they finish up the year, the regular season, they work hard all summer long, come back the following year, like, wow, like they got better in the summertime. Who are some guys that you've seen just kind of take a leap? We're like halfway through summer right now, but from what you've seen, guys we haven't mentioned yet, is there anyone that you've seen take that leap that we should be excited for next year?
I'll run through some of the programs just that just makes it easier for me to kind of like think about things. You know, a program that I've seen a lot is the XLP program out of Portland, run by Mikey Herman. and who played at Bonnie Eagle in Portland, but has recently been an assistant coach at Bonnie Eagle as well. And he does a really good job. A lot of kids from the Portland Deering area and Thornton Academy as well. But some of the kids that I really like that have taken a jump on his team are Remy Wani from Deering. I think he'll be one of the best kind of 3-and-D type of players in Maine this year. Like he can get up and down, defend 1 through 5, and just makes life tough on his opponents, which I love kids that take pride in their defense. Silvano Ismail is another kid on that program. He's also in the Chevers program, that has grown to 6 feet. He's a kid that's been smaller up to this point, but he's really grown, and I think that's really gonna help him establish himself as one of the better point guards in Maine. He's a class of 2023 kid, so he'll be a junior this year. And Braden Camiri from Thornton Academy, probably one of the probably you know I'd have to put him. He probably shoots the nicest ball in Maine. Honestly, it seems like a layup. I'm honestly surprised when he misses sometimes. Thornton has had a good program over the last few years, and I feel like if they get up and down and they've got an inside presence this year, he's going to make a ton of three balls for them. And also Patia Donato on that team, another class of 2023 kid on the wing. It's long. His brother Peter played at Colby Sawyer a few years ago, and was one of the better players in Maine when he played at Portland. Really a late bloomer. I think Patia has a chance to jump into the conversation as one of the top 2023 kids eventually. And I'm excited. I hesitate sometimes to mention kids that are too young, but there's a kid that's in the class of 2025, so he's an incoming freshman, that's going to South Portland. His name's Manny Hidalgo, and he's small in stature, but he plays with a ton of heart and grit. And he has probably one of the best handles, and is one of the most creative finishers that I've seen in Maine. I don't know, playing behind Jalen, South Portland has a glut of guards, and talented players. So I'm not sure how much time he would see, or even if he'll be on varsity this year, depending on, what their coach decides. But he's just a kid to watch out for, in the future, potentially. If I go down to the XL Thunder program, you got, obviously we already talked about JP, but another kid that I really like on that team was a class of 2024 kid named Tegan Pelletier. He's the son of the Oxford Hills girls coach, Scott Pelletier. And, not necessarily a kid that, on an in an AAU setting necessarily is going to go out and put up big numbers every game, but he's going to do everything else. He was kind of the glue guy on the 16U team. Tons of offensive rebounds, tons of hustle plays. Can hit threes, can hit a mid-range, can get to the rim and score, especially on the break. Pretty good athlete. So I think he's somebody in the Oxford Hills program to be excited about. In the Black Bear program, I would say, I think Jacob Farnum, he's doing a prep year at Hyde, I believe this year in his reclass of 2022, has taken another jump. Becoming more aggressive. He's had some big games shooting the three. Let's see, 2020 in their 2023 group. We already talked about Calvin. And I think, man, there's just so many kids. I think Adam Savage, I put out a mix of him recently. Adam has a chance to have a very good year, and kind of I don't know how many people have talked about Adam on a state level, like in terms of, like, you know, him getting a lot of notoriety statewide. I think he'll have a chance to move into that conversation this year. And if we move down to, I'll just mention some kids from some other programs. Maine Sting, I really like the backcourt of their 15U team. So these will be kids that'll be sophomores this year. Yusuf Dekani from Lewiston, really, really tough guard off the bounce. Really good at getting in the lane and finishing. And Caden Boone, I believe he's from Lisbon on that team. Nice lanky guard. I think he'll turn into a gifted scorer if he continues to work on his game. So there's a bunch of names for you. I haven't got to see a lot of the players in Northern Maine, just because of my travel schedule and the fact that not a lot of Northern Maine kids played out of state this year, which is mostly what I focused on. And obviously I didn't get to get up to any games, but I know that there's plenty of talent up there on the boys' side as well. So I'll be looking forward to catching more of that. Hopefully in the fall, there'll be some more local tournaments where some of them will want to get involved in that. So
as always, I knew you would bring it, and I knew we would get name drops guarantee every time you come on. You haven't seen as much of the girls this summer though, right? You've been busy traveling with the boys programs and stuff like that, but from what you've seen, have you seen much of the girls?
I've seen Main Attraction a couple times, which, you know, is a program that has many of the best, you know, what people consider the best girls in the state. Very talented group. The thing that people, you know, as we've talked about, or other people have talked about, is that the girls, as far as exposure goes, the girls with the Firecrackers program and the results program coming up, and a few other programs have really been able to showcase the girls in a way that their recruitment, I feel like, is closer to maybe what it should be. Yeah. without any extra help going into it. And I, you know, you look at the girls and you're like, well, that person should be recruited. And then they are, and they have offers. And so I think what we've talked about is just how competitive the boys side is for getting those scholarships. And, you know, I'd love to be able to focus on every single kid. But I felt like it's been more necessary, to try to shine a light on some of the boys talent that we have in the state. And that's why, you know, if anybody wonders, that's why, you know, the time commitment that I've had has gone more towards the boys side. Not that there aren't plenty of girls to make mixes of and focus on as well, and hopefully somebody will pick up a camera and do it, you know. So I could use the help. But no, you know, like, you know, you mentioned that you got the big names like Sarah Talon, JC Christopher, you know, Sierra Carson, on that Main Attraction team that's done so well, Sloan Genovan. But I know that there's lots of girls, you know, from all over the state that are doing really, really good things. And I see them working with trainers and really see their game taking leaps and bounds, you know, from a distance, but I haven't been able to see much of what's going on that side, but I will be at the top 30 camp. Yeah. So I will be getting footage there of the girls and putting that out, and be able to speak on that much better, because many of the girls that will, you know, that are the best, and boys are attending that, in a few weekends from now.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you got going on for the rest of the summer? Because you've been on the road a lot. You've been traveling, going to these tournaments and stuff like that. Like, do you take a break in the summertime at all? Are you going to be chilling at all before it starts back up? You just grind, grind, grind. Like, what do you got left between now and the end of summer?
I took a weekend to go back up to Holton, took 5 days to go up there for the 4th of July, but that was really the only break that I've had.
Yeah.
I've been out every weekend other than that and during the week. And I'm going to head to the Noonan tournament this coming weekend, which is always really fun.
Yeah.
That's kind of a reunion for me with, you know, people that I've coached or been around. Just big, a lot of the basketball people are there. Either just to watch old, you know, their former players or obviously former players competing in it from around the state. A lot of the names that people know, it's just fun to, it's like a blast from the past, just watching all these great former Maine high school players go at it again. So I'll be there filming, just for fun. You know, obviously those guys, don't need any scholarship offers. Many of them have, you know, had that back in the day. But just for fun and just to give people a look for the people that can't go. And then I'll be at Tier Camp a couple weekends from now. I'm not sure if there's going to be anything in between that. I think he's splitting it up, girls and boys. So it'll be two different weekends that I'll be at Tier Camp. So that'll probably fill up through mid-August. And then we'll probably get some time off. And then fall ball will start up in September, November time. So
it doesn't stop. It never ends.
It'll be basically like AAU season all over again. And I'll be able to see a lot of the local kids. But, you know, other than that, I'm training a few kids, starting to work with some other programs as far as just helping out, you know, during the week with the kids that they train, just to be an extra set of hands and you know, another voice and just staying around the game as much as possible, and listen to your podcasts. So,
yeah. All right. Podcast is back as evident with this one. Nick Cannon really last week. There's some more coming up there. What else you got in the works, man? I mean, I know you're always thinking, brainstorming how we can make things better, what needs to get better. If there's anything that you can disclose of or you want to talk about, just ideas you have, because I know you got a ton. What would you like to see? What more do you want to see come along with the Maine hoop scene?
I mean, there have been some recent discussions among a lot of the people that are involved at the club basketball level and at the training level about doing something really cool. Those discussions are, you know, for kids in the state of Maine, in terms of increasing the availability for some of those things, whether it be exposure in tournaments competition wise or a broader range of training situations. So those can, you know, I think there's discussion set up for tomorrow to talk about that some more among some of the top people in basketball, as far as the people that work the most with kids right now. I've also been filming for New England Recruiting Report some for Adam Finkelstein, who is, you know, at the top of like ESPN as far as ranking kids in nationally and, you know, and doing national recruiting coverage for ESPN. And, you know, his sentiment is that, you know, at least for exposure events, like we're talking about live period events, that Maine should do as much as they can to try to get their best kids, on, you know, one team or a couple teams, to kind of bring all that talent together to make sure that it's easier for coaches to see those kids, in the very short window. It's shorter. The window is even shorter than it's ever been, especially now with COVID, to see these kids and to make sure that we get eyeballs on them. So I think there's people that are very excited to maybe try to do that. I'm also going to be doing getting into some photography for sports. So I'm going to start building a portfolio, which I know you'll be excited about because you're always putting graphics out. So to have access,
I need pictures. Pictures are so hard to find.
To have access to photos and trying to do some things and have the kids have input on that, to try to have, you know, the graphics thing is a big part of like announcing your recruitment, but it's also just nice to have good pictures of yourself and remember your time there. And you know, I'm gonna try to build a website that has profiles that feature some of these kids and has some of this photography involved. So I'm going to be, I kind of wanted for COVID to kind of start taking a back seat and for people to be able to be have the chance to be vaccinated before I did, you know, one-on-one personal stuff. So I'm going to be starting to set up photography sessions with a lot of these kids around Maine, so I can give you some content, some better content and easier content to work with. So
I would appreciate it. It would make things a hell of a lot more.
and
Because a lot of these kids is one picture of them on the internet. So wrong with it.
you want to make them look good. You're like, should I use that picture? Like, is
Yeah.
that the picture that they want to see out there? Is it the mouth? Is the mouth wide open? You know.
It's tough. It's very awkward putting some of these together too, because I'm just staring at people's faces. Like I'm just going like picture to picture. And like, it's very intimate when I'm in Photoshop because I'm locked in on them. They're just looking back. It gets a little weird, but it's all part of the process.
Something else I would like to do is get together with some people and have a you know, kind of like an elite middle school tournament. I feel like there were some in the past like that really showcase some of the best middle school talent, but it have it be about school teams and not club teams. And that would help me to have all those kids in one place would give me a better way to evaluate them at a younger age. So, you know, that's something that we might consider doing as well. And get some sponsorships from some of the big people that are involved in basketball, you know. So
And this winter too, or prior to the kickoff of the season, we can look forward to Trophy Moat's player rankings, right? That was a big hit last year when we came on with the boys and girls. So you got some time. Hopefully the top 30 camps will give you a chance to see some of these kids up close and personal and adjust your list, right?
for sure. And again, I think what Ben tries to do with the camp is try to, you know, allow kids from all regions of the state to go and compete against each other and measure up. And it also allows us a chance to evaluate them further and you know, see where they really stack up, without, you know, just based on their skill level, without any it relying on who has the best teammates, who has the best coaching, you know, just what they already have in their bag. So
Absolutely. We do a couple things on the Instagram page. We did the 2K cover, boys and girls, in the Legends Edition. Do you think they were accurate? Like, would you vote it differently for any one of those, or were you okay with them? That was all fan votes. That wasn't me. That wasn't my choice. I'm what the fans decided, and that's what they voted for. I think they got it right.
I mean, I think that you might have got the two best athletes, respective of their, you know, girls and boys basketball. So I think that's usually in basketball, athleticism is really what people look for. They look for like the big highlights, the big blocks, the big dunks, the big, you know, the big plays, the, you know, the shifty crossovers and you know, the pull-ups in people's faces and being able to, and still being able to knock it down. So I think, you know, based on, you know, the criteria that people usually judge, like that people get most hyped about, like those two kids definitely qualify in that regard, and could say that they're the two most athletic kids, respective to the team, the, you know, the situations they play in the state. So for sure.
Were you okay with the Legends cover with the Nick and Ralph? Were you okay with that?
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I think, you know, Nick, both the Knicks have done a phenomenal job representing Maine basketball. Obviously Nick Cannon-Meadley for much longer, and he was a kid that graduated in my class. And it's just amazing to see him continue to play professionally. at such a high level, individually and as and team wise. Ralph was somebody that I saw in person a bunch of times, and really loved his game, and you know, played at Florida State. You know, and the, you know, watching like Nick, Ralph, and now Dom going to play in the ACC. Really the ACC is up there no matter what year it is, in terms of the top level of competition in college basketball. And then, you know, like if you look at like terms of that, in terms of athleticism and individual feats, you know, Nick Mayo and Ralph did things on the court, in Maine and after Maine, after their time in Maine high school basketball, that I think it's hard to match up, for any other kids. So, you know, I'm sure that there could be some other thoughts, especially from the older generation, as far as, you know, who could have been on there. If, you know, you had Matt Rosignol on there or something, I wouldn't have complained either. So,
well, look, this is going to become a new thing every year. So we're going to get all kinds of legends on. That was just for this. That was the inaugural one, but I'm going to get you out of here on one of the same questions I asked Kenneth Medley last week when he was on. So we talked about all the kids that we got right now. Maine basketball seems to be heading in the right direction in terms of our kids getting recognized, kids getting offers and stuff like that, with Cash, Dom, Brady, JP, Calvin, guys like that. I asked Nick last week, I said, are you surprised that 20 years removed from when you graduated, like, you're still clearly identified as the GOAT, and that there hasn't been more progress in the last 20 years and been more people that have come along and gone the same route you have than what we have? And he said he wasn't that surprised, because of some, you know, a lot of the issues that we have here in Maine, which we've highlighted on previous podcasts as well. Are you surprised that in the 20 years since Kenneth Medley has graduated, we haven't seen more? We haven't seen more go that route, or be as successful going that route?
I'm not really surprised. Nick was just that special physically, and competitively. He really was. Like, I mean, just you're not going to have very many Nick Kaner medleys in any state. I mean, two-time All ACC player. I mean, no matter what state you're in, you're not going to produce many of those. And given our state, you know, geographically and the makeup of our state, and the opportunities that, you know, we don't have necessarily, you know, I'm not that surprised that he's still up there and still compared. That's the bar kind of for at least modern day basketball in Maine. But I think that we've hit a point where there's the potential for somebody to start breaking through that threshold consistently. And why I say that is that, you have more people that have been college athletes, and know the path in Maine than you've ever had before, just because more people go to college now, more people have played college athletics has been a bigger thing for longer. And that gives people, even though they're from a geographical standpoint, kind of out of the way, if they have that IQ, about the game, that knowledge base passed down to them from somebody that's done it before, I think that's what's going to, help us kind of produce more players that are more similar to Nick. It's a pretty high bar to set, because to average 37 points a game and 15 and a half rebounds and whatever he did in Class A, and a tough Class A back then, but, you know, and play with the athleticism that he did. But, you know, I think just having the IQ and knowledge is the biggest piece, and we have more parents, that are able to kind of know the way and guide their kids and know what's important and what's not important, and keep their heads on straight as far as the game, you know, their perception of themselves and the game goes. So that's where I think that we can make some ground up now. and where we haven't in the past, necessarily in the past. I also think that Maine, people talk about gaining ground. And what I've mentioned to some people recently is that, you know, yes, we have more trainers and more AAU teams than we've ever had, but so does every other state.
Yeah.
Every other state has. And if you think that, like, you know, we're not gaining ground in that state. I would say if, like, for every new trainer you get in Maine, you probably get like 3, 4, 5 new trainers in California or Texas or Florida or Georgia, all these places that already produce tons of athletes. We're not necessarily, or AAU teams, we're not necessarily making up ground in those areas. Those places that are competitive and have the talent baseline and just the number of bodies, they approach it probably even more competitively than we do to make sure that they're doing more than they were, even more than we think we are. Like, you know, it's new for people here to see so much, but, you know, people outside of the state take it so seriously, because for a lot of people, and especially in the cities, it's not, you know, it's kind of a tool to make it like out of a situation. Whereas that's, you know, in Maine, I feel like just people being comfortable is sometimes a deterrent to some levels of success, you know? So, you know, that's kind of my feeling on it. You know, I think there's high school coaches and college coaches and people that are like, ah, that's AAU, it's these trainers, there's more and more of them. It's like, yeah, there's more everywhere, like, and more than there is in Maine, like, you know? So the water is rising everywhere and it's lifting all boats type of thing. Not like, oh, now Maine should be up here because they, you know, comparatively to Massachusetts, because we've got 4 more trainers, yeah. You know, so that's my feeling.
We'll see where it goes. It does seem to be going the right way though, right? Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
We're trending the right way.
You need good people involved. And I think we have a lot of good people that have good hearts for the kids and good minds. You look at, you know, you just look at the proportion of NBA coaches and assistant coaches from Maine comparatively to what we produce for pro players, you know, with Steve Clifford, Brett Brown, Josh Longstaff, you know, and others, you know, it says a lot for the minds that are in Maine that are trying to help improve the game of basketball.
So. Agreed. I just thought of 2 more quick questions to ask you before we get up out of here. So one of them is, next year, the UMFK Classic, talk about going to watch Northern Maine kids play. What's it going to take to get Trophy Mode up there for that weekend for the UMFK Classic?
Is the Swamp Box still open?
It is still open, yeah.
Hey, just if I can work out something where, like, I can get a promo burger at Swamp Buck or something, yeah, like that, that might get me up there.
That's all it takes. Might be able to make that happen. Might be able to pull some,
Do I have to put a Swamp Buck commercial at the end of the mixtape or something?
Yeah. Trophy Mode presented by Swamp Buck. We'll start doing that.
No, I'd love to come up. I'd love to do a big time Trophy Mode, like, combo up there and maybe interview some kids and yeah, some stuff like that. It'd be awesome.
I'm gonna try to go up there for the whole tournament next year, because, like, I just happened to go up there by accident. I forgot it was even that weekend, because originally I had something planned, but I went up there and was like, oh shit, what's going on? And it wound up being a good time. So I'm gonna try to get there for the whole time next time. And then the top 30 camp in a couple weeks here, king and queen of the court, they're doing that. See who the best one-on-one player is at camp. Give me your picks for who you think will win that.
Oh man, this is tough.
Sarah's got a chance to defend her crown, but yeah. I don't think Wyatt's moved on, so there's going to be a new boy singing the court. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if Cash is going, I feel like Cash will have a good shot. If Dom's going, like, what a matchup that would be.
That's true, somebody, right? Yeah, people got to guard Dom.
For somebody to keep to keep him out of the paint and finish to finish. That would be quite a challenge. I'm really excited about it. I mean, if I had to pick somebody, just I feel like you can get it over quick if you can shoot, and you can just knock down some. And they have to come out and guard you. That gives you a little bit more space to drive. So I feel like Cash and Sarah are probably the best bets as far as being able to take people off the dribble and finish. So I'll have to go with that. I mean, I don't see a reason to go against Sarah. She kind of dominated last year. So
anyway, it'll be a good time. I'm gonna get down there for one day for the boys and girls. So I'm excited. I'm gonna be there. It sounds like it's gonna be a full house. Like it's gonna be everybody. Like it's gonna be all of us. Everyone who's kind of on the scene is gonna be there this year. It's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited. Ben's done such a great job at creating this event and making it better every year, and really considering what makes it a good event for the kids. Like he really wants them to enjoy it, and he really wants them to have fun competing against each other and to learn a bit. But kind of have it be a weekend for main kit, for the main ballers to really show their stuff and in front of the people that kind of do some evaluation and work with them. So no, it's going to be really fun for sure.
One more question. I know you're going to be back in the high school gyms this winter, getting footage and stuff like that. When you see like all these big ones on whatever, Ball's Life, all these ones, they always show like celebrities in the crowd. If I'm at these games, can I get a little like a 2 second or 1 second clip in these mixtapes as being in attendance? Can I be one of those guys?
Oh, sure. I think as long as you have like a hand sign to throw up for big time, like do you have something like a BT or something?
I got to come up with something. I got like some merch.
Or if you have some merch where you can just, flash the merch, that'd be great. And if you can have some of the people that are around you yell, shout out big time hoops or something, that's always a fan favorite, to get some recognition. So
yeah, I can't wait to be a games this winter. I was saying it all like lead up to last season. Like I said, I can't wait to get in games. I didn't get a chance to go to any games last year. This year's going down. I can't wait to be a games this winter. It's going to be a good time. Trophy, is there anything we missed on? Like I said, we're going to be back on here before the season kicks off. We're going to do the rankings and then the fantasy draft. We're going to bring that back because that was a huge success last year as well. So we're going to have you back. But is there anything we missed? Let's go around before we get up out of here.
I can't think of anything. I'm sure I will as soon as we get off the pod. I would just say that I'm just so happy for the kids to be back out there playing basketball without masks on, yeah. and really like getting after it and being able to showcase themselves this summer, work on their games with the people, in gyms with people that care about them as much as they want to. And it speaks a lot to their perseverance and character that, I didn't see a lot of complaining out of the kids during the last year. And they definitely had reasons to be unhappy, disappointed, crushed about certain things that didn't go as they had always dreamed for it to go. So just big shout out to the kids in our state for keeping it together and just taking the next steps to, further their goals in basketball and education. Really proud of how they handled themselves coming out of all this. So, and excited for the season, for sure.
And who should I go get next for the podcast? Because you're probably one of the most dedicated listeners we got out there. Who haven't I had on yet? One of the old heads, one of the legends that you want to hear from.
Goodness. Oh, wow. I like the podcast. Like I loved the Zach Ray podcast. I loved the Ralph Mims podcast. Those are people from back when I was around the time when I was graduating or just starting to get into college that like I had never really heard them speak on the game and had never really spent time around them, even though I've spent time around so many other people. So those were fun for me. I would love Can I give you a few names
Oh,
just in case? Because
I'm back at it now. The podcast is back. I'm off vacation, so.
I would love Andy Bedard would be one that I would love to hear from, just because I know he had a different journey than a lot of Maine high school players. And he was on the Maine teams the last times that UMaine was really, really successful, almost making the NCAA tournament. So he's one. I would love to have, my guy, Kyle Bouchard, I would love to have him on here, 2015 Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, he's on the show.
A guy that I coached, and I know you've had his sister on, I believe.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear his perspective on things. You know, we as coaches, we have our perspective on things. And Rob Moran, who I just sat down for some Chinese with last time I was up in the county, Rob and I got to you know, coach Kyle for 6 years together. And Rob asked me to assist when Kyle was in middle school. Rob was the head coach, and then he moved on to be the varsity coach. You know, and so there's a lot there that I'd like to hear Kyle's perspective, like unfiltered perspective on. Maybe Bracey Barker, Yulin.
That was supposed to happen. I had it lined up and she disappeared, but I'm gonna get back at her again. I'm trying to make that happen because
she had an unbelievable career at MDI and a good career at UMaine. So I think on the girls' side, that'd be somebody that that I'd like to hear from. So
I've had like three or four lined up, good to go, date schedule. Like with Bracey was one of them. There's a couple other ones too that are stories that you would want to hear. So if those people are listening, like, come on the podcast. Like, people like to hear this stuff. People want to hear your stories. So reach back out to me if you disagree with me, or let's reschedule and make this happen, because there's a ton of great stories that need to be told, and I'm here for that. That's what I want to do. People like Trophy Mode like that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but they're dying for the next one. But, yeah, the things you just mentioned are already on my list, so I just got to reach out to them, schedule, and make it happen. But still got a ton of people to run through. So
I mean, I can't. If I sit down, I could probably send you a list of 100 people. So maybe we should work on a longer list so you can nail some of these people down that are hard to track.
Instead of your top 100 high school players going into the season, let's do a top 100 dream big time podcast roster, and we'll start knocking them out. But hopefully Nick Mayo next. That's what I'm working on here. We've been talking a little bit, so hopefully the Nick Mayo one is coming out soon here.
But all right,
that's gonna do it, man. Unless you got anything else, you want to plug real quick? Are you all set for tonight?
I think we're good for tonight.
I'm gonna reach out to Swamp Buck after this and get that lined up for the Classic next time. But that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Big Time Hoops the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all of our previous ones wherever you get your podcasts. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and do me a favor, rate the podcast 5 stars. Give it a nice little rating. Leave a little comment. I'd appreciate that. And real quick, who's coming up next for mixtapes from Trophy Mode?
I think we've got probably, as I said, I'd probably put out Casey Cormier's mix. Ian Murray is another kid that's really been impressive. He's headed to Governor's Academy, I believe, and reclassing to 23. So he's a guy that to really look out for. He's attended Kennebunk so far in his high school career. So let's go with those. I'll just mention those two to not put too much pressure on myself this week. So
go follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Trophy Mode. Like I said earlier, the podcast, they're just on the mixes are coming out in a fury right now. Just every time you look up, there's something new on the Trophy Mode feed. So go check those out. And we'll see you next week with another big time episode of Big Time Hoops the podcast. See you.